of the Lord. As you take your seats, please turn with me in your Bibles to John chapter 16, the 16th chapter of John. We will also be looking at 1 John chapter 5, 1 John chapter 5, and we will close in Revelations chapter 12, verse 11. That's John chapter 16, 1 John 5, and Revelations 12. Lord Jesus, we thank you for the privilege it is for us to come together with people of like precious faith. We thank you, Lord, for another week that you kept us from danger seen and unseen. We thank you for another week that you provided for us. You provided all of our needs according to your riches in glory. And now, God, we come to the hour where we are eager to hear from you this morning. Speak to us, God. Open up our ears so that we can hear what you are saying to the church. Open up our hearts so that we can receive what you are saying to the church. When we leave this place today, we would not just be hearers of the word, but doers also. God, we pray that you will build us up where we are torn down and strengthen us where we are weak. Give us clarity in the name of Jesus. Yes, Lord, we worship you in this moment. We make room for your voice. We're not here for pretend. We're not here to pass time. But we are here because we have a question. Is there a word from the Lord? We want to hear what you have to say this morning. Let all other voices be silent. Let your voice be clear. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. John chapter 16, verse 33. John chapter 16, verse 33. Jesus speaks to his disciples. And he says to them, "These things I have spoken to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world." Can we read that again? It says, "These things I have spoken to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world, you will have tribulation." Some versions say trouble. "But be of good cheer. I have overcome the world." This verse is the ending statement of a long discourse that Jesus had with his disciples that began in John chapter 14, verse 1. When we study the relationship that Jesus had with his disciples, one thing that we will discover is that Jesus was always up front with his disciples. He didn't sugarcoat anything. He didn't tell them everything all at one time. He gave them a little bit here, see if they could digest that, and then he gave them a little bit there. But he didn't mix it with sugar. He didn't try to make it sweet. He was always up front with them. And in chapter 14, he starts this conversation with them because he has some important information that he wants to give them. He is preparing them for what life is going to be like when he's absent. He is preparing them for his crucifixion, for his resurrection, and what they are going to have to face in his absence. And it's a mixed bag, because he says, I'm going to be absent from you, but a comforter is coming. So I'm absent but present at the same time. That's good news right there. You may not see me, but I haven't left you. Hallelujah. I'm still with you. He said, and I'm going to be with you until the very end. I'll never leave you, never forsake you. That's the good news. The bad news is that for my sake, you are going to be persecuted. And when we think of persecution, it's not you're going to have a bunch of haters. It's not that people are not going to like you. It's not that they're going to uninvite you to the party and have lunch and invite everybody except you. That's not persecution. Come on, somebody. He's saying that this persecution is going to be so great, they are going to kill you. Not kill your reputation. Not kill your opportunity for growth in the company. Not kill your relationship. No, they are physically going to kill you. You are going to die for my sake. If you look at verse 1, he says, these things I have spoken to you, that you should not be made to stumble. Some version says, so that you won't abandon your faith. Jesus says, I'm being upfront with you so that when things get tough, when you are being persecuted, when you are being sawed asunder, he says, I'm telling you these things so that you won't abandon your faith, that you won't stumble. Can I tell you, we have to be careful about the gospel that we preach. We have to make sure that we are preaching the real gospel. We got to make sure that we're not telling people, if you give your life to Jesus, you won't get sick, he'll make you rich, you won't be persecuted, you'll be the most popular person on earth, you'll never get laid off, anybody you pray for will be healed, you'll have more money than time, all of these wonderful things are going to happen to you, he'll find you a good husband and you'll have perfect kids. If we tell, come on somebody, if we tell people that, then when it doesn't happen that way, it causes them to stumble. It causes them to abandon their faith. That's why I work real hard to tell you the truth, even when you don't like me. Because when things get hard, I don't want you to stumble in your faith. I don't want you to abandon your faith. Because Pastor Tim said, all I had to do was speak it and it would happen. Pastor Tim said, this wouldn't happen. I'm telling you, you are going to suffer. You are going to be persecuted. It's going to get real hard. I'm telling you this now so that when it happens, you don't stumble. Hallelujah. You don't abandon your faith because you didn't get promoted. You don't abandon your faith because you had to have surgery. You don't abandon your faith because you had a divorce. You don't abandon your faith because your loved one died. You don't abandon your faith because people in the church don't like you. I'm telling you now, it's going to happen. Verse 2, John 16, verse 2, he says, this is what they're going to do. They are going to put you out of the synagogues. Yes, the time is coming that whoever kills you will think that they are offering God service. Come on, let me tell you. Remaining faithful to Jesus is risky. Being faithful to Jesus is a dangerous proposition. Look at what he said. They're going to put you out of your church. You be faithful to me, they're going to put you out. If you're not faithful to them, but you're faithful to me, they're going to put you out of your church. They're going to put you out of your synagogue. And then he says, and you think that's bad enough? They're going to kill you. Not curse you out. Kill you. And what makes it worse, he says, and when they do it, they will think that they are doing it for me. Oh, come on, somebody. Isn't that what the Apostle Paul did? Paul went around killing Christians, not because he hated God. He did it because he loved God. He thought he was helping God out. He thought he was defending God. Let me tell you, people have done a lot of evil in the name of God. Oh, I don't have a church here. People have been mean and hateful and murderous in the name of God, thinking that they are doing God a favor. But I want to release somebody. Don't blame God for what evil men do in his name. Don't blame God just because somebody says they're doing it in the name of God. People have done a lot of evil in the name of God, and it's not new. Jesus said it's going to happen. Look at verse 4. He says, but these things I have told you, that when the time comes, you may remember that I told you of them. Here's what I love about Jesus. He says he always gave his disciples a heads up. He says, I'm telling you this now so that when it happens, you will remember that I told you this would happen. Because the adversary, when this happens, the adversary will tell you that God left you. The adversary will tell you God has abandoned you. The adversary will tell you that faith doesn't work. The adversary will tell you that doing it the Bible way is a waste of time. And no, Jesus said, I'm telling you this so that when it happens, you will remember I told you this would happen. So when the adversary says to you, if God loves you so much, why would this happen? You can say to him, he told me this was going to happen. When they kick you out, instead of abandoning your faith, you can say, God told me y'all was going to kick me out. Hallelujah. This is not an offense against my faith. This is a confirmation of my faith that what he says will happen, it happens. He said, I want you to remember that following Jesus doesn't mean every day will be howdy and Sabbath will have no end. Remember that the next time you feel a pain in your body. Following Jesus is not a painless experience. Remember that the next time you want something and it doesn't happen. Remember, I told you that. So don't lose your faith because I already told you. Mother is going to be against daughter. Father is going to be against son. I told you that. Evil is going to increase. I told you that. In the last days, perilous times will come. Don't be shocked and all. I already told you this was going to happen. He said, I'm telling you these things so you remember that I already told you what will happen. Verse 20. He says, most assuredly, I say to you that you will weep and lament, but the world will rejoice, and you will be sorrowful, but your sorrow will be turned into joy. Lord have mercy. He says, you're going to go through a season where you are going to be weeping, when you are going to be sorrowful. And what's going to make that worse is that while you are sorrowful, the world will be rejoicing. There's nothing more offensive than for you to be in a state of sorrow and the people around you are in a state of rejoicing and celebrating. It's bad enough I'm upset, but why are you so happy? Why are you so excited? I know how y'all are. When you're in a bad mood, you don't want nobody around you that's in a good mood. Oh, that's me. Okay, sorry. He says, you're going to go through a season where you will be sorrowful while the world is rejoicing. You're going to go through a season where you will be lamenting. That means you will cry out. There will be a mourning in your spirit while the world is rejoicing. But he says, but your sorrow will turn into joy. He said, it's temporary. I got some good news for you. Weeping may endure for a night, but joy is coming in the morning. I'm telling you now, you're going through a season of sorrow, but your sorrow will be turned into joy. You're going to sorrow over persecution. You're going to sorrow over the challenges that you have. So don't let the devil tell you that you were doing better when you were out there in the world. Because that's what he'll tell you. He'll cause you to look at the prosperity of the wicked and say, these people are evil, but they're not having financial problems. These people don't pay tithes, but they're doing good. These people are living like hellions, but they're not the ones sick. They're not the ones going through. How come it's the people of God always going through something while the world is going to rejoice? Listen, let me tell you, our sorrow is temporary. But guess what? So is their rejoicing. Oh, come on, somebody. Oh, he didn't tell you that. Their rejoicing will come to an end. Our sorrow will turn into joy. So we get to verse 33. And he gives them the reason why he had this conversation with them. He said, these things I have spoken to you, that in me you will have peace. In the world you will have tribulation. Let's pause for a minute, because Jesus gives two guarantees in this scripture. He says to his disciples, in my absence, I promise you, two things. In the world, you will have trouble. And in me, you will have peace. Here are the two things you expect to happen. After I'm crucified, after you see the resurrection, after I am ascended back unto the Father, here are the two things you should expect while I am absent from you. In the world, you're going to have trouble. But in me, you'll have peace. Isn't it interesting? He gives two guarantees. Peace and trouble. Come on, somebody. I had to meditate on that for a minute. Because they are so opposite. But then it reminds me of what he said in John chapter 14, verse 1. He says, let not your heart be troubled. He said, listen, I'm going to tell you some things that are going to trouble you, but don't let your heart be troubled. They're going to persecute you, but don't be troubled. They're going to kick you out the synagogue, but don't let your heart be troubled. You're going to be sorrowful, but don't let your heart be troubled. Do you know you can be sorrowful, but not troubled at the same time? You're going to be grieving, but don't be troubled. Persecuted, but not troubled. Cast down, but not troubled. I'm going through, but I'm not troubled. Sick in my body, but I'm not troubled. I refuse to allow my heart to be troubled. Now, we cannot avoid trouble. He said, as long as you are in this world, you're going to have trouble. Job said, a man that is born of a woman is a few days and full of trouble. Usually I like to define words so that I can make sure that we're all on the same page. But when it comes to the word trouble, I don't need to define that to y'all. Everybody in here knows what trouble is. Even if you're 3 years old, if I say to you, if you take that cookie out that jar, you're going to be in trouble. You know exactly what trouble means. Come on, somebody. As you grow, you realize that being in trouble for a cookie is one type of trouble. Having life challenges is another type of trouble. But trouble is trouble. Anybody need a definition of trouble in here? I think not. You cannot avoid trouble. Being a Christian does not give you a free pass from trouble. We don't get to skip over pain and grief. We don't get to fast forward through disappointment and setback. We don't get to ignore problems and not have trouble. When sickness comes to us, we cannot say to sickness, "No, thank you. I'll pass." Huh? When a problem comes, you can't say, "No, thank you. I'm not having problems today. I've decided that I'm going to not have problems or troubles for the next 7 days. No, thank you." You know, your parents teach you to be polite. When somebody offers you something, you say, "No, thank you." Huh? Somebody's lying on you, you don't get to say, "Well, no, thank you. I'm not going to have trouble on my job this week. No, no, thank you." "Oh, you got a layoff letter? Oh, no, thank you." "You got to foreclose on your house? No, thank you. I don't thank you. I don't receive that." We don't get to skip over it, y'all. I don't care how polite you are, how nice you are. You can't say, "Oh, family problems? No, thank you. Financial problems? No, thank you. Mental problems? No, thank you. Physical problems? No, thank you." No. In this world, you will have trouble. Now, he says, "But in me," okay, that ain't the end of the story. He says, "In me, you will have peace." So that means when depression comes, I can say, "No, thank you." When anger comes, I can say, "No, thank you." When bitterness and resentment comes, I can say, "No, thank you." When worry comes, I can say, "No, thank you." When anxiety comes, I can say, "No, thank you." When frustration comes, "No, thank you." I might be in trouble, but I'm also in him. And he said, as long as I am in him, I will have peace. You want to disturb me? No, thank you. You want to mess up what's going on the inside of me? No, thank you. You want me to be mad the rest of the week? No, thank you. You want me to cuss somebody out? No, thank you. You want me to stay up all night worrying about something I can't control? No, thank you. I'll pass on that. He promised me peace. I have two guarantees, trouble and peace. If I gotta have trouble, thank God I got peace. Says, "I told you these things not to scare you, not to worry you, not to cause you to have anxiety, not to cause you to go get your sword and get ready for them when they come." He said, "I didn't tell you so you can get ready to fight. I didn't tell you so that you can get yourself ready for it. No, I told you so that when it happens, you will have peace." Oh, come on, somebody. Listen, y'all know that I don't like to fly. Flying is a problem for me. And I don't like turbulence. And now they call it bumpy air. But I know what you mean when you say bumpy air. I know what that means. But you know how I get peace through it? When the pilot comes on ahead of time and says, "We're getting ready to go through some bumpy air. So put your seat belt on. Put your tray table up in the right position. It's going to get bumpy for a while." So then when it gets bumpy, I can have peace. Why? Because you already told me it's going to get bumpy. Come on, somebody. And I know that I'm in something that was created to handle the turbulence. I am in something that is able to overcome the turbulence. Come on, somebody. Jesus says, "In me you shall have peace." Guess what? I am in something that can handle the turbulence of life. I am in something that can handle sickness. I am in something that can handle disappointment. I am in something that can handle the challenges of life. So I have peace because he already told me it's going to happen. But be in me because I already got it. I already got it. I already have it. See, when God sends a word, it always comes with peace. God doesn't send a word that disturbs your peace. Come on, somebody. Oh, men will send a word that will disturb your peace. But God is not in the business of disturbing peace. In fact, he's the Prince of Peace. So even if the word comes and says it's going to get difficult, you have peace because you know he's in control. Even if the word is a word of correction, you have peace because you know he loves you, because he only corrects the ones that he loves. When it comes from him, when it's a word from him, he said, I told you these things not to scare you, but so that in me you will have peace. Then he says, we're almost done here. Then he says, be of good cheer. Don't let anything I told you disturb your happiness. Still have the birthday parties. Still go to the feast. Still celebrate. Be of good cheer. Don't go home and be depressed and lock yourself in the room trying to avoid everything from happening. He said, no, be of good cheer. Why? Because I have overcome the world. I already did it. I have overcome the world. You be of good cheer because I have overcome the world. Jesus tells them, I've already overcome everything that's trying to overcome you. And as long as we are in him, we will overcome also. Overcome means to succeed in dealing with. Come on, somebody. How many of y'all are dealing with some things right now? Some of y'all dealt with some things on your way to church this morning. Overcoming means you succeed in dealing with. You defeat. Overcome means to prevail. Overcome means to overpower, overwhelm. Succeed in dealing with, hear me, defeat, prevail, overwhelm. Jesus says, I've already prevailed against the world. I've already been successful at dealing with the world. I've already defeated the world. I've already overwhelmed the world. I have already overpowered the world. You don't have to, because I already did it. All you have to do is stay in the one who's already overcome, overpowered, who has already successfully dealt with. You know, there's some things you can't successfully deal with by yourself. You need the Lord to successfully deal with it. 1 John chapter 5, same writer John, he clears up this conversation about overcoming the world. 1 John chapter 5. He says, for whatsoever is born of God overcomes the world. Let me pause there. For whatever is born of God overcomes the world. Can I tell you this? The moment you are born again, you become an overcomer. The moment you are born again, you defeat the world. The moment you are born of God, you become an overcomer. Do you remember all that you had to overcome just to walk into the church? You remember all that you had to overcome to come down to the altar and confess? Do you remember all that you had to overcome to get baptized? All of the things you had to overcome, you had to let go, you had to rebuke, you had to turn away just to be a part of the family of God. The moment you're born again, you become an overcomer. Then he says, and this is the victory that overcomes the world. This, the source, this is how we get the victory. This is what causes us to overcome. This right here is the victory that overcomes the world. What does he say? Our faith. How do we overcome the world? By faith. It is our faith. We overcome the world by our faith. The world does its best to cause us to abandon our faith. The world does its best to cause us to look at our circumstances and abandon our faith. But the world doesn't know that our faith guarantees us victory, hallelujah, that our victory, hallelujah, is our faith. The world doesn't know that the moment I declared my faith in him, that I became an overcomer. My circumstances don't determine whether or not I'm overcoming. My bank account, health in my body, that's not what makes me an overcomer. What makes me an overcomer is my faith. Come on, somebody. It's my faith that makes us overcomers. But that's not the end of it. The world doesn't know that our faith has a target. Our faith is attached to something. Look at verse 5. He says, who is he who overcomes the world? He makes it clear. He says, I want you to know who it is that overcomes the world. Because everybody doesn't overcome the world. Joining the church doesn't cause you to overcome the world. Being ordained doesn't cause you to overcome the world. Who is it that overcomes the world? He says, but he who believes that Jesus is the Son of God. That's who overcomes. See, our faith is not, and I told you this last Sunday, but our faith is not in a performance. Our faith is in a person. Come on, somebody. Our faith is in a person. Our faith is not in what Jesus does, but our faith is in who he is. And everyone that believes who he is overcomes. This is how we overcome. Our faith in Jesus. Come on, somebody. This is it. Our faith in Jesus causes us to overcome. Understand this, that trouble comes with a purpose, and that purpose is to cause us to deny Jesus. Come on. He don't care too much about the nice house you live in. He don't care too much about what's happening in these other areas of your life. What he wants is to take your faith. He wants you to deny Jesus. That's why he says, if he loves you, why did this happen? If he's good, why did that happen? You look him square in the eye and you tell him, I don't love him because because of what he does. I love him because of who he is. I don't trust him because of how he performs. I trust him because of who he is. And that's how we overcome. We overcome because even after we have finished suffering, we don't deny Jesus. Sick in my body, but I'm not going to deny Jesus. Problems everywhere I look, but I'm not going to deny Jesus. I've been kicked out the church, but I'm not going to deny Jesus. I've been blocked on Facebook, but I'm not going to deny Jesus. I overcome. You listen, anytime you go through something and when you get to the other side, you still holding on to Jesus, you just overcame the thing that tried to overcome you. Every time you show up here after going through hell all week long, you have overcome. Come on, somebody. Every time you lift your hands and you praise him in spite of your circumstances, that sends the message to hell. That right there is an overcomer. Let's try something else. You try something else and we come in here and we still give God praise. Why? Because we're overcomers. Since our faith in Jesus makes us an overcomer. Circumstances don't define who we are. Conditions don't define who we are. We are defined by Jesus and we are in him. And as long as our faith isn't, y'all remember what Jesus told Peter? Jesus told Peter, Satan's been talking about you. He asked for you. He asked for permission to sift you like wheat. In other words, he asked for permission to shake you and cause you to break to in a bunch of pieces. He asked, could he put you in his hand and go like this to you? And you know what Jesus said? Jesus didn't say, I pray that Satan not get a hold of you. He didn't pray that. He didn't pray that Satan not shake you until you fall into 1,000 pieces. He didn't pray that. He said, no, after he grabs you, after he shakes you, here's what I pray, that your faith fail not. And that's what I pray. I pray after you have suffered, after you've gone through, that you still have faith in Jesus. That's what I'm praying for. That after you get through the trouble, you still have faith. After the turbulence, you still have faith. After the pain, you still have faith. After the disappointment, you still have faith. I told you this so that after you get through it, you will still have faith. Why I told you. Last verse I want to share with you, Revelation chapter 12. God's trying to stir somebody's faith up this morning. Somebody's been listening to the report of the adversary. You might be surprised by what's happening to you, but God's not surprised. He's still in control. Revelation chapter 12, verse 11. And says, and they overcome him. Here's how they overcome him. By the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. Can I tell you something? Every time you give your testimony, you overcome the devil. Every time you give your testimony, you send a message to hell that you have overcome. And you know what? That's why the adversary wants you to be ashamed of your testimony. That's why he wants you to be quiet about what you went through. Because when you open up your mouth and you tell in the company of the believers of what you used to be, what you've been through, come on somebody, that's how you overcome. Did I read the book right? He said there's two things that cause us to overcome. The blood of the Lamb. Come on, because you can't, what can wash away my sins? Nothing but the blood of Jesus and the word of our testimony. You mix the blood of Jesus with your testimony, there is nothing that you can't overcome. So every time we give our testimony, it's a message that we overcome. But I got to read this last part of this scripture. Because we like the first part. This last part is a problem for me, and it's going to be a problem for you too. The last part, he says, and this is how they overcome. This is another part of overcoming. So we overcome by the blood of the Lamb, the word of our testimony. Here's the third part of how we overcome. He says, and they did not love their lives so much that they were afraid to die. Uh-oh. Whew. Oh, it's quiet in here now. Huh? He says, they overcome by the blood of the Lamb. They overcome by the word of their testimony. And they overcome because they didn't love their life so much they weren't afraid to die. Let me tell you, the most dangerous person on the planet is a person who's not afraid to die for what they believe. You cannot defeat someone who's not afraid of death. Come on, somebody. You can't stop someone. Your threats mean nothing to somebody who's not afraid to die. That's why capital punishment doesn't work. Come on, somebody. Oh, I'm sorry. That was another thing. Listen, you can't, thank you, suicide bombers. You cannot stop somebody who's not afraid to die. Come on, somebody. Ooh, Lord have mercy. God is raising up a people who says, listen, I am not afraid to die. He said they don't love their life so much that they weren't afraid to die. You know why some of us can't progress? Because we love our life too much. Come on, somebody. Oh, you know why some of us can't get over some things? Because we love our life too much. Jesus said it this way, he who will save his life will lose it. Some of us are trying to hold on to our life. Whatever you do, don't die. Whatever you do, don't die. I'm not going to go there because you might die. I'm not going to say that because I might die. I'm not going to join that church because you might die. We do whatever we have to do not to die. And Jesus said, the more you hold on to it, the more you're going to lose it. But the power to overcome when you say, I don't love my life so much that I'm not afraid to die. If I have to die for this thing, I'm willing to do it. That's how we overcome. That's how we overcome. Because we're not holding on to our life. We're not holding on to our wills. We're not holding on to our plans. We're not holding on to our agenda. And I know your instinct says save your life. But listen, if you want to be an overcomer, you got to be willing to let go of your very life. The Bible says that we are dead in Christ Jesus. It's him who lives in us. Would you stand to your feet? We're in the last of the last days. Come on, somebody. And we have got to get to the place where we choose Jesus over anything else. That we overcome this world through our faith in Jesus. Don't let anybody move you away from Jesus. Don't let anybody talk you out of your faith in Jesus. He already said you're going to have trouble. So don't let trouble talk you out of your faith. Because he said we're going to heaven. Let me say this and then we're going to pray. Victory is guaranteed for the believer. Come on, somebody. No matter how it looks, no matter how much it hurts, we overcome the world. Why? Because We are in the overcomer. And the overcomer is in us. Do you know that Jesus, for our sake, has already defeated everything that's trying to defeat us? Before you get in the fight, he already overcame your adversary. Come on. Before you are aware of it, he's already overcome it. Come on, somebody. It's not going to overtake you. I'm talking to somebody in this room who says, this is too much. I'm overwhelmed. I've been dealing with this for a long time, and I am worn out. Whoever you are in this room, Jesus told me to tell you, I've already overcome it. Glory to Jesus. It's not going to take you out, because I already took it out. He says, in me, you have peace. Focus on me. Pinpoint your faith on me. Your trouble is temporary. I am eternal. You'll have me forever. Weeping is for a night. Trouble is for a season. But you'll have me forever. And nothing has ever overcome me. And as long as you are in me, you will overcome. I want you to look towards heaven. Look towards heaven today. Your help comes from above. Your help is in heaven. Your ability to overcome is in heaven. Listen, it's not going to take you out. I know it's heavy, but it's not heavier than God. I know it's big, but it's not bigger than God. I know it's complicated, but nothing is too complicated for God. Nothing. He says, stay in me. Hold on to me. Keep your faith in me. You overcome by faith. You're in trouble, but you still have the victory. You're in trouble, but you can have peace. Lord Jesus, we thank you today because you have brought us here to let us know that you have already overcome the world. Thank you, Lord, for being upfront with us. Thank you, Lord, for not sugarcoating it. Lord, you let us know that we'll go through a season of sorrow and lament. We'll go through a season of persecution, a season of danger, a season of difficulty. But God, you said that our sorrow will turn into joy. I thank you, Lord, because you're turning our sorrow into joy. God, I thank you that we know in you we will have peace. God, help our faith to be attached to you, that our trust will be in you. Not on what you do, but in who you are. And we want to be like the saints of old, that after we have suffered, after we've gone through the fire, after we've gone through the water, our faith is still standing. Lord, we made the bold declaration today that we won't deny your name. We are the faithful church that keeps your word and doesn't deny your name. Hallelujah. We are the faithful church that are not ashamed to say that we know who you are. We are the faithful church that says we're not ashamed to declare that we have a relationship with the living God. I thank you, Lord, that you have caused us to overcome. We thank you that we overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. God, I thank you that we will declare our testimony every chance that we get to remind the adversary that we already overcome. We already defeated our adversary because of you. And God, I pray that you would give us the grace that we not love our life so much that we're not willing to die for your sake. Our will must die. Our plan must die. Our objectives must die. We must live for you and you alone. For you have granted us the victory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Can we worship the Lord for a few moments here? You are an overcomer. Come on, somebody. You're not defeated. It's not too much. It's not more than you can handle. Right where you stand in victory. Hallelujah. Right where you stand in victory. Hallelujah. We are in the position of an overcomer. Hallelujah. Bible says we are more than conquerors. Hallelujah. We don't just get through it. We don't just manage it. We don't just navigate through it, but we overcome. Hallelujah. We defeated. We are more than conquerors.